This is the word of God found in Proverbs 25, verse 25. Proverbs 25, 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. My thought's pretty simple this morning. And that is that a good drink of cold water is mighty refreshing. And so is a message from the far country of heaven. God sends the gospel. And the gospel is about Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to do his Father's will, and did it, and ascended back to heaven, and he's there now making intercession for us. And so the gospel comes from a country farther than any on earth, comes from heaven, and it's good news. And to somebody that's struggling and laboring with their guilt and their sin, it's like a cold drink of water. That's the obvious message. But let me go further. When you're thirsty and tired, and you have a cold drink of water and you're refreshed, that's good. To have long-term good physical health, you need plenty of hydration. That is, you need a good, moderate amount of fresh, clean water every day. And it's similar for us in our souls. There's times the gospel can come when we're just parched with guilt and darkness. And it's good news from a far country, and it refreshes us. But if we're going to have good lifelong health for our souls, good spiritual health, you need frequent intake of the truth spoken in love by the gospel. It's a matter of fact, I've read before that dehydration is a cause of many of our physical health problems, and I've even experienced that with some. I've known people who went to the hospital thinking they had a major stroke, and it turned out to be dehydration. That's also a cause for problems that we have with kidney, with heart, with bladder, with various organs, is people just don't drink enough clean water. I've even read that the appropriate amount of clean water that you need to take day by day is to take your weight in pounds and divide it by two and drink that many ounces of water per day. So if you weigh 128 pounds and you divide that by two and get 64, you need to drink 64 ounces of water. That's a half gallon every day to be at good health. It's one of the first things that Eastern doctors, such as Chinese doctors I read, will prescribe. As you come to them with any problem, you need to spend a couple of days drinking the amount of water they prescribe so they can take that layer of problems off and diagnose whatever else may be wrong. So there's a need for fresh, clean water. This is a real problem in many areas of the world. Some areas the water is in low supply, or some areas are affected with cholera and different bacteria. The water is not available, or what water is available is not clean. And so there are all kinds of health problems. You come down with cholera or some of these other diseases, you have a hard time gaining weight. You have a hard time getting strength. It's just an essential for physical health that you have a sufficient, moderate amount of clean water every day. For a child of God, it's essential for their spiritual health that they have a moderate amount of the true gospel often. They need to have not unclean, not some false doctrine of men, but the true gospel needs to be a part of the child of God's life from time to time in a frequent, regular manner for the spiritual health of a child of God. And so as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Is it scriptural to compare the gospel to clean water? Well, think of some scriptures. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I have planted, Apollos hath watered, but God giveth the increase. What did Apollos do? Did he show up at the church at Corinth with a hose pipe and sprinkle all the people? No, he preached the gospel. Paul planted that initial seed. They were first hearing the name of Jesus Christ, that concept of what the Savior was like, the Son of Man, the kind of life he lived, the kind of death he died, and his resurrection. That seed was planted, and Apollos came along and reinforced that truth, taught them some of the things the Lord had done, some of the things he had commanded. And so there was a watering there to bring forth the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit, and they were fruitful to the glory of God. There's a need for a frequent, regular watering. Imagine, just as an example, about this good news that you're one of a middle-aged couple, a man and a wife, and you're living in the Midwest. Say you're living in Kansas in 1945. And your daughter's there at home with you, but one of your sons and one of your nephews is overseas, and they're fighting in Europe with the Allied forces in World War II. How you pray for them, how you worried about those young men. And then one day you get the news. The Allied forces have moved into Berlin. The Nazis have surrendered. The war in Europe is over. Now that's a far country. Here it's coming all the way across the Atlantic Ocean from Central Europe. And you find out that war is over. Last time I heard from the boys, they were doing fine. They'd finished conflict and survived in the front line. Now they were in a supporting unit a little further toward the back. You know, I am glad to get that good news. How refreshing. But even better is when you get that good news day by day. And the boys come home and your son says, well, Mom, I'm going to stay and help you put in your garden, and then I'm going to look for a job while I'm staying with you. When I get a job enough for my own place, I'm going to plan to move someplace near where I can see y'all from time to time. As you see the boy, and as he puts in his garden and gets his job, gets his place, gets his family, and you see your nephew going through those, you know, from time to time, you get that good news. They're back from the far country. And it's just refreshing to you to know that worry I had, that anguish, wondering if they'd come back, that's over. I'm relieved. I'm refreshed. I'm encouraged. It's good to see them growing up into such fine young men, and their families is just an encouragement. The gospel comes from a farther country than Central Europe. It's better news than the end of the war against the Axis powers. As a matter of fact, the good news of the gospel was prophesied in this way in Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Cry unto Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now there is the news of the greatest warfare accomplished, the greatest war won in the history of mankind. As good as it was to have VE Day, which was the end of the war in Europe, or VJ Day, which was the end of that war in the Pacific, as good as it was for Vietnam finally to be over with all of its anguish. As good as it was to get the young men back from the Gulf War and then the later war in Iraq and now hoping one day for the war in Afghanistan. As good as all of that was, none of them are comparable with the news that your judgment is paid, your sins are removed as far away from you as the east is from the west, and life everlasting is yours because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and single-handedly won the war over sin and death. That is the best news from the farthest country of all. How did it come from a far country? He rose, he stayed with his apostles a few days, and he ascended from on high, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And so now, if the real gospel is ever preached, it's because the Spirit of God from heaven itself comes and enables a person to speak and a person to hear, and the transmission of the truth of the information that the warfare was won is provided as good news. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, as primitive Baptists, trying to stick as close to the Bible as we can, and I realize there are places that we need to learn. Everybody needs to learn more about the Lord. But trying to stick as close to the Bible as we can, we believe that God the Father chose a huge number of people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And when he chose them in Christ, he didn't choose a method of salvation in Christ. He chose individual, particular people in Jesus Christ. They are known as the elect. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth as the Son of Man to redeem the people God the Father chose. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. And we believe that God the Spirit, sometimes within the life of a human being, between their conception in their mother's womb and their physical death, calls them and regenerates them unto life in Jesus Christ by the new birth. And we believe that God the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is coming back one day and causing all of his children to be resurrected and glorified like him. And listen, we believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all in harmony about this, and the God is going to do this by his own good sovereign purpose in everlasting love without the help of anybody else. So we believe that the gospel is not a prerequisite or a condition or a requirement for everlasting life. When people understand that, and they understand that's what we believe, and they begin seeing the scriptural support in it, then there's a very natural question that arises, because coming from a culture where people have been taught to believe, oh yeah, but no, the gospel's required, and you've got to hear it and accept it. You've got to participate in your own eternal salvation. And when they begin to find out we don't believe that, we believe that God saves unto everlasting life all his people, and he doesn't lose one, and he does not put any condition on man except for the condition he placed on his only begotten Son, who met those conditions. When people begin to understand we believe that the gospel is not a requirement for everlasting life, then the natural question that arises is, well, why preach the gospel? And I would reply this way. If you find that somebody is already alive, why give them a drink of water? You know, you don't give water to a dead person to try to resurrect them. You don't go to the funeral home with a pitcher and start pouring it in the casket, hoping that it'll cause the person to get up. That's not the purpose for clean, cold water. You bring the pitcher of water or even just a cup of cool water to somebody who is alive and needs the benefit, the helpful benefit of cool, clean water. Now, this lesson could be taught too because the gospel is also compared to food. The Lord Jesus Christ told Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, "The elders which are among you, feed the flock of God which is among you." There's food. Paul says, "I have fed you not with meat, but with milk thus far, for you were not able to receive strong meat." So the gospel is compared to food. The gospel is also compared to light. He hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me ask you this. Does cool, clean water or good, healthful food or clear, projected light, do any of those physically help somebody who is physically dead? No. But do they help somebody who's physically alive? If you've got somebody that's alive and thirsty, or somebody that's alive and hungry, or somebody that's alive and in the dark, does it mean something? Is it important for them to have water and food and light? Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it's so important that on certain occasions it's worth dying for. And so if somebody says, "Well, if you don't believe why that the gospel is instrumental in bringing people to everlasting life, why do you preach it?" Then my answer to them is because those whom God has called to everlasting life are thirsty and hungry and they're in the dark, and out of love we want to bring them good news from a far country. Amen. We want to bring them food for their souls. We want to shine the light on life and immortality brought by Jesus Christ. But I have a feeling sometimes that even we maybe get it mixed up and think, as far as the gospel, it's kind of a one-shot thing. If you get some cold water to a person, or you get a good meal to a hungry person, or you turn on the flashlight for a few seconds to somebody in the dark, well then, okay, does that do them good? Sure it does. One drink of cold water to somebody that's perishing of thirst, that's pretty important. Or a meal to somebody that's starving, that means at least another week of being nourished. But you know, if you're going to have good health, you need that cool, clean water every day. You need that helpful, nutritious food every day. You need some sunlight and maybe even some lamplight every day. And if you and I are going to be healthy in our souls, if we are going to have good spiritual health, we need good news from a far country. We need the food of the gospel, whether meat or milk. We need to have light shined on life and immortality over and over and over again on a frequent basis. How frequent? Well, the disciples in the early church met on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on Sundays. But I tell you, I don't even know if that's adequate. In between times when we meet, and maybe the pastor gives you a little help understanding the scripture, day by day, I hope you will open your Bible. I hope that you will go for some cool water, some nutritious food, some light on your path every day. And then when we get together, then it's a matter of us helping one another understand what we've read, what we've prayed, what we've thought, helping one another grow together in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man. We want cold water. We want good news from a far country And we really need it more often than we think. There's times in my life I finished some hot, hard work, and man, what I wanted was a big drink of water, and I felt thirsty. But you know, there's also times in my life I'll go through a day, and I'm not really conscious of needing to drink. You may know this, but you really need to not just go with what you feel, because the times you just feel desperately thirsty are not enough to cause you to hydrate the way you should. You need to have a little bit of discipline and regularity about drinking clean water to be physically healthy. And it's very similar with the Word of God and the gospel. We need to have some discipline, some regularity, some planning to say, Lord, I need some of your word every day. And every once in a while, I need some help from your servants on understanding your word. Help me to do that, Lord, so that my spiritual health is a matter of being able to also help others and to glorify the name of the one who came from a far country and has made me a home in a far country, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. God, how merciful you've been to us. We pray, Lord, that you bless each one here with help and safety on the way home, that you would bless us, oh God, to show love one to another, that you would bless us to get that good news often, Father, and that it would increase the health of our souls and that it would increase our ability to glorify you. Bless those that are watching online, Lord. Thank you for their attention and their prayers. Oh, Father, we pray that you would bless us to repent and turn to you and draw close to you. And Lord, in drawing close to you, let the fruit of the Spirit be abundant in our lives and let it be an honor to your holy name. All these things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.